Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. I think let's jump over to the EN140. What is the EN140 and what does it basically test to?
Okay, so that covers your reusable respirators. And again, it's various components of testing. So fit is definitely one of them, the fit criteria, but also in terms of storage of the product, cleaning of the product, how do you maintain it? It should also include the filter cartridges that go with the product. And in some instances where you've got encapsulated cartridges, for instance, so you're encapsulated meaning that you've got a chemical as well as a particle filter on it, there's different criteria that's required for that, because remember, once your filter media is clogged, you're basically throwing away the whole cartridge. In saying that, the standard also caters for disposal of those cartridges, because remember, it could have contamination within the cartridge as well. So how do you dispose of something like that? You can't just put everything into landfill. Some of it may require incineration. So besides the actual product working, so your fit, how the filters fit on, does it have replacement parts? How do the filters work? Is it a single filter? Do you have dual filter capability? So all of those components make up the various areas of the standard. But again, basic filtration and fit is covered in the reusable standards.
Okay, and that's the reusable half master EN140, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned it when we spoke about the filters. An obvious thing that I think people would assume is we get the cartridge and the filter to fit onto the mask. And you made a comment which you alluded to that it needs to fit properly. If there's any gap, then it's not serving the purpose, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about when you say the standard, the cartridge needs to fit the mask and it needs to state which ones?
Absolutely. So there are respirators out there that can use generic cartridges. So for instance, you've got manufacturer A, but he can use his filter media or his cartridge, but he can also use manufacturer's B cartridge in his face piece. Have you had tests done to make sure that when you use the generic cartridge on your product, that it actually works without any leakage points? Do your cartridges fit into the face piece without any gaps or any way of air entering that hasn't gone through the filter media itself? So the standard will include items like that. So if you are going to use a generic product with your product as a whole, as a complete component, does it work?
And that should be, again, on that test reported. It can't say this is a generic cartridge that can fit. Yes, it can look like it fits, but to your point, air and whatever dangerous particles might be in the air can go through the smallest of gaps. You spoke last time about a beard.
Yes.
Having a little hair can stop it from serving the purpose. It might look like it fits, but we need to do the due diligence to make sure that this specific cartridge is and has been tested to be compatible with this mask.
100%. So if you look at the 3M product range, our filters only fit on our respirators. Yes, we've seen counterfeit product coming into the market, but we've also noted that when you try and put a genuine 3M cartridge onto a counterfeit face piece, there's often a gap in the seating, or else you'll actually see that the cartridge itself moves around on the mounting. So again, use, if you're using a 3M face piece, use a 3M cartridge.
There's a huge risk there. So, I mean, one of the resistance that we see to somebody wearing a mask is it stifles my breathing and it makes it a bit tricky. All I'm thinking when you say this is if there's a slight gap, the user is going to think, well, this works better. I'm breathing easier. But actually, it's just not protecting them appropriately.
Nope, 100%. So we've had this very often where we've gone onto a site and we've given people our 3M respirators. We ask to do a voice of customer. So basically, trial it. Let us know what you think about it. Very often we get told, but yours is a lot harder to breathe through. Or I get a lot hotter when wearing your respirator. And then when you ask them to do, you know, a donning process, like putting on the respirator, put on a 3M, put on a competitor, you see immediately that there's huge gaps around the circumference of the face, so, or the breathing zone area. And obviously that's why they feel it's cooler and more comfortable, because now they've got all these gaps around the edges, which is allowing air in and out. And that makes it easy to breathe. Whereas when you wear a 3M respirator, we make sure that the fit is perfect. You have a proper seal around your breathing zone. So yes, it is a little more labored when you're breathing in and out. But it's only in the beginning. After that, you become accustomed to it. And if it's too easy to breathe through something, you should question why.
That makes sense. So, and again, I'm now thinking, okay, well, we've got this lawsuit that's happening with Philips that we spoke about, and the makeup of a half face mask is silicone and substance which probably shouldn't be in your body and could potentially, in that instance, for example, create a danger if it gets into the body and it's not safe for human use, basically. So in that standard for the EN140, for instance, would they actually talk about what the silicone is manufactured? I mean, I don't know much about plastic, but I would think there's certain plastic substances which are harmful to human, certain substances which are better and probably not harmful. Does it talk to the way that you manufacture or the quality of manufacture? I don't know. Is that something that is in the standard?
It is, but it is not openly obvious. You know, you've got to read through the fine print to actually understand what exactly they're getting at in the standard. And as we said before, that's why it is so hard for people who are entering the field to actually understand what they need to look for in terms of compliance of a product. So if you look at most respirators, they are either manufactured from thermoplastic elastomer or silicone. And generally, or the most commonly known problem with the respiratory face piece itself is that some people develop sort of rashes or red rings around the breathing zone area when wearing a half face, for instance. But that's generally caused through an allergic reaction to latex or latex products that may be within the plastic components of your face piece. So in that instance, the option is to move to a silicone product, but the face piece itself shouldn't create any issues unless you're using recycled plastic, because that does tend to break down and disintegrate, and that could enter your skin and cause those issues. But if you read the standard regarding the reusable respirators, there is a component in there that talks about using virgin plastics or virgin rubber products so that you don't create additional issues for the person using the respiratory product.
Yeah, so a simple way of saying is if you use something like you mentioned that could break down, that enters the body, like the Philips case, it enters the body, causes irreparable damage and possibly fatal result in the long term.
Yep. And it also goes back to the other thing that's discussed in the standard is the care and maintenance of products. So again, your product may be made from the best possible raw materials, but if you're not maintaining it and you're not taking care of, you know, checking, inspecting before you're using, remember with everything, there's wear and tear. So there could be components of the respiratory product that's actually breaking up or delaminating, and you could be inhaling those particles. So it's not to say that the product was made from inferior quality plastics or latex or silicone. It could be the fact that you're not maintaining it and you're not changing it out when you should, and deterioration has happened, and that deterioration has led to small little particles breaking off, which you could inhale.
Let's assume that it's come out of the box and it's just been manufactured. I mean, you've mentioned that it breaks down, and I would assume the breakdown happens because of breathing, because of just general use.
Mm-hmm.
In a harsher environment where somebody might be a lot more breathing a lot heavier, they would be breathing faster, so that would break down faster. How does that person know when this is possibly going to cause irreparable damage?
Okay, so if we're looking at the EN standard for respiratory protection on reusable respirators, for instance, the product before use should always be inspected. So before you put that respirator on at the start of a shift, you should be doing a visual inspection of the unit. So take off your cartridges, look at everything, look at where the cartridges are seated. Are there any deformities there? The inhalation, exhalation valves, are they still in good condition? Because that could also deteriorate through use. You should be washing that respirator. So has there been any kind of detergent used or solvent used in the cleaning process that could cause delamination, which means that now your material is starting to break down, which is what you're going to end up inhaling. So you should constantly be doing visual inspections on your respiratory product to make sure that it is still viable. Other than the visual inspection, you're not going to know if there's any particles that have broken off or you're going to be inhaling it, because some particles are microscopic. But the obvious is delamination.
And just on that point of we should be washing it, does that happen?
In most cases, no. You should, as a daily practice, at least wipe down your respirator and store it away. And at least once a week, give it a good thorough rinse out and wash. In most instances, people are rushing to catch their taxis or lifts home, or they've just had a long day and want to get out of the workplace. They don't want to spend that extra 5 minutes cleaning the respirator. But I would ask that they do, because again, it's to do with your own personal hygiene.
For sure.
You're wearing it. You're going to have to come in the morning and put that same respirator on. So do it as a matter of your own personal hygiene.
And hopefully that also makes sure that you're safe away from the hygiene side of things, but make sure you're safe down the line.
Absolutely.
The next standard is we've got that 14387. There's also been an addition to that. So that's talking about the specific filters. I think it's gas and vapors. What would that go through? What kind of testing and standard testing would that go through?
So again, your chemical cartridges protect you against a family of chemicals. So when we talk about chemical cartridges, we talk about protection against a family of chemicals. I often get asked, yesterday, for instance, I got asked for a data sheet that specifically lists that our cartridges or filters will protect against zinc. So it won't tell you that it's going to protect against zinc. It'll tell you it's going to protect against particles. Zinc is a particle. So it falls into that category. So that's what I mean by a family grouping. So in the standard for filters and your cartridges, chemical cartridges, your products are tested against a family. So it'll be organics, inorganics, acid gases, ammonias, and derivatives thereof. You might get specialized cartridges that will deal with things like formaldehyde or mercury. Or in some instances, you may have an ammonia cartridge. So again, it's a family. But if you have to go and look at the family of organics, there's a whole host of chemicals that fall under that. So if your product is categorized as protection against organic or inorganic, you are basically covered by the majority of chemical exposures. So your filtration, again, depending on who the manufacturer is, there's different lengths of use. And again, the size of the cartridge can also determine how long the filter media or the cartridge may be used. So each test is specific to the manufacturer, hence why you have to conform under the regulations to a standard which has the basic components. I could say my product will, chemical cartridge will last a 30-day period. And the next manufacturer will come through and say mine will last 3 months. You know, so it all depends on what criteria has been ticked off. But as long as you basically or cover the basics of the standard, your cartridge will be approved.
And when you talk about your families, so we talk about that, that's different standards. So that's that 14387 and the 143, which would be the vapors and then the particles. Mm-hmm. They function the same. That those two standards are, like you're saying, checked to the families instead of specific elements.
Yes.
Okay. We've then got the 136, the EN136, which is then the full face. I'm just assuming that would look very similar to the half face testing. It's just a different, it's a different kind of mask. It covers the whole face. What would the other differences be there?
Okay, so people often say like, okay, so why? I mean, it's a reusable respirator. So why do you have a different standard for half face and a different standard for full face? Because your full face is actually covering a bit more. It's actually giving you a face protection as well. Okay, so it has to, your product now has to not only conform to the respiratory aspect, but against the actual visual aspect as well. So your eyes. And here they bring in a bit of the standard that's required for face shields. And you also have a bit of the standard that refers to eye protection, because that's basically what your full face is doing. It's giving you respiratory protection, face protection in terms of a face shield, and it's giving you eye protection in terms of safety eyewear. So your full face standard is different to your half face because it's got additional components. And then also it's got two areas that it's protecting you in terms of the entry of dust or chemical. For if you look at a full face respirator, it generally has a half mask sort of look on the inside. So you've got a section that's covering your nose and mouth area, but it's also creating a seal around the circumference of your face. So it's got two sealing areas around your nose and mouth and around your face. So you also have to check leakage on those two points. So it's not just leakage from inhalation, but also entry around the face seal.
And I mean, I would assume then that eye protection and the protection that it's effectively giving, which is more than just the respiratory, needs to be it needs to be the same standard as a general eye protection, because it would be the same as wearing spectacles to protect in certain instances.
Absolutely, because you can't wear something, and let's say we're working in an area where there are projectiles that could penetrate. So the face lens on your full face also has to go through a testing criteria. It has to conform to standards that are applicable with face shields and with eyewear. Because the last thing you want is, for instance, you're working on with a cutting disc and that happens to break off and come flying at you, you don't want it to be able to penetrate into the face piece itself. So your respiratory protection and face protection becomes critical at that point.
Very insightful. And I would then also guess that there's an added, like you mentioned in the half face standard, there's care and maintenance that's linked to that as well. It's probably, it looks the same, it's just obviously for a much bigger or broader product versus just the half face mask.
Yes, because the additional component there in the care and maintenance of a full face respirator would be taking care of the actual lens that of the face piece itself. Often you'll get people, for instance, wanting to clean the face piece using a solvent, and that could actually damage the lens itself. It could actually create clouding on the lens, you know, where you get that milky vision through it, which can distort your visual coming out of that. The other aspects of cleaning and maintenance on that is where on a half face piece, you're just looking at the nose and mouth area of the product and you're cleaning that. On the full face, you've got to look at the full circumference of the product. It's got different straps and buckles that also need to be decontaminated in the cleaning process. And then you don't want to be using harsh chemicals that are going to cause any kind of abrasion on the lens itself.
So basically, there's a lot that we need to consider whenever we actually just generally looking after this stuff. I mean, it's there to protect us, but if we don't look after it, chances are it's not going to function as it's supposed to keep us safe.
100%. So again, as with all 3M respirators, you know, they do come in sizes, small, medium, large. And a question I get asked often is, so if the face piece were to get damaged, we're talking about the respiratory part of the face piece now on a full face, what happens? You can actually order that replacement part to replace that. So if your lens is still in perfect condition, you just need to repair the respiratory part of it. You can order just that and replace it. Because again, like I mentioned with the half face, there's going to be deterioration of the components within the respiratory side of it.
Who would be able to do that? Because is it just anybody can replace it?
Yes, it's very easy. It's basically a plug and play. You pull out the one and you put in the new one.
And there would then be a test to make sure that it's sealed or something like that?
Yes, there would be.
Cool. Ronnie? Thank you so much again for your insights. I think for me, there's tremendous value. I really think the audience, if they are dealing with respiratory, to share this kind of knowledge and to make sure that they've got a point to think about when it comes to how do they look after their people, how do they look after themselves, it's vital that they consider the points that you bring up in this discussion. So thank you so much again for your time.
You're very welcome. So make sure your product is homologated and you will really not have an issue.
Awesome. Thanks, Ronnie. Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gears page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.